is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Kalina Financial Advisors Limited, Wendy's, and the Water and Sewage Department.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Today we're going to talk about what could possibly shape into a humanitarian crisis with only 1,000 Haitian migrants landing in the Bahamas over the past few days. We're also going to discuss the suspension of promotions in the public service, particularly at Water and Sewage Corporation, so that we can have a better understanding of what's going on and what prompted that and where we are with that. Now, before I do all that, let me send a happy birthday shout out to my longtime family friend, Georgette Jennings Daniel, up there in Atlanta, Georgia, holding it down for the Bahamas. It's her birthday today. She listens to the show all the time. We want to wish you a happy birthday from me, from my sister Erica, who's one of your best friends, and from your mom, Vernay, and your dad, Vernon. Right? So, is your dad Vernon? I think your dad's Vernon. I could be wrong. Sorry if I got your name wrong, Mr. Jennings. I'm so used to calling you Mr. Jennings, it's hard for me to grasp the first name. But happy birthday, Georgette. We wish you all the best. It's a pleasure knowing you. You're an awesome friend, and thanks so much for all the good times and all the memories. And stay being great. I hope you have a great birthday and you enjoy yourself. All right? Okay, so we have what looks like a major problem on our hands that could get worse. Okay, so I did my research over the weekend on Haiti, right? And so Haiti's got several things going on, because I was asking Friday about the migrants at the border, all right? Some of you apparently had some good information, some of you maybe not so much. So we are trying to figure out what the deal is with Haiti. So, you know, with thousands of the Haitians being allowed in short-term basis with often precarious legal status, because this is what happened with Brazil. Apparently, their legal status was not guaranteed, although they gave them interim visas. They had Haitians in Colombia, Haitians in Panama. All right. So, first of all, they speak Portuguese in Brazil, so Haitians have a hard time adjusting to that, even though a lot of them do speak Spanish due to the proximity with the border of the Dominican Republic. You had the Haitians in Panama, Colombia, and they said Brazil, too, were greeted with rampant racism and living conditions that weren't ideal, which is weird to me because there's a lot of black Panamanians and a lot of black Colombians and a lot of black Brazilians. But maybe there's different flavors of black that they accept in a lot of these Latin American countries. If you ever watch Black in Latin America, it gives you a peek into some of the entrenched vestiges of slavery that are really have them spinning. Okay, and so many of them decided to leave years ago, because you said that they stopped going, they couldn't find work in Brazil after the Rio Olympics. Of course, the Rio Olympics was 5 years ago. So many of them made their way north, okay, and they were trapped in Mexico because the last Trump administration dismantled the process for asylum seekers. And then, excuse me, when COVID-19 hit, the CDC I believe under direction of the then White House under the Trump administration, said that they were going to invoke something called Title 42, which allowed them, as a means of protecting public health, the ability to stop the asylum-seeking process. And so when Biden got in office and he promised to restore that process and he extended the temporary protected status of over 100,000 Haitians who are already in the United States, they, for the most part, felt that they would go and try to seek asylum, all right? The Biden administration has continued the Trump administration policy through the CDC of using Title 42 to block them from seeking asylum, and therefore they are deporting most of them, okay? Now, I say that to say, what's that got to do with the Bahamas? Well, here's the thing. If you, and I've been reading this, right? So they were flipping out in Haiti when they were bringing these people back, all right? Or they were flipping out when they were learning that they were going to be sent back, okay? So Haiti not only is recovering from the assassination of Jovenel Moïse, but also there was recently an earthquake in Haiti last month. And so things are going from bad to worse. Armed gangs are roaming the highly populated parts of Haiti with ties to the political organizations there. The prime minister is now said the prosecutor who's investigating Moïse's death said that the prime minister should be arrested and charged in conspiracy with killing Moïse. All right, so it's not a good look. And so for those reasons and reasons that have existed from time immemorial, and I don't know what's sparking this, but if you'd remember, after Moïse was assassinated, you had Darren Henfield saying that they expect people to flee Haiti and to come to the Bahamas. It's some time off, but we now have a mass influx of Haitian migrants to the Bahamas. I do not remember any single point in, for certain, the past 20 years where this many migrants were apprehended from Haiti in so short a time. Okay? I'm going to read some of the story for you so I understand where we are. Since Wednesday, more than 900 Haitian migrants were apprehended in Bahamian waters as Haiti continues to grapple with heightened political, economic, and social unrest. According to the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, 400-plus migrants were detained yesterday after their vessel sank in the Ragged Island chain. On Saturday, 195 migrants were apprehended in two separate instances. On Saturday, a sloop carrying 50 Haitians was intercepted off Anagua, and later in the day, a sloop was spotted in the Ragged Island chain. Marines aboard an RBDF ship discovered 145 migrants on board. On Thursday, while en route to Anagua with a group of 70 migrants who were apprehended early in the day, Marines aboard the HMBS Bahamas spotted another sloop just 5 miles west of Anagua with 151 Haitians on board. On Wednesday, authorities apprehended 86 Haitian migrants off Anagua. They were detained over a 5-day period. It's a clear uptick in such instances. And this flows, as I said, from what Darren Henfield said was an influx, what they believe would be an influx of migration from Haiti, and therefore they were beefing up the resources to patrol the border. Maybe they did that, and that's why they've been successful in capturing this many people. Lucky for the Haitians, because if your boat's sinking off Ragged Island, that's a problem. I've had the chance to talk to Haitians who have survived boat sinkings and watch them haul bodies off of Defense Force boats. It's not pretty. It's a very dangerous journey that one would make out of some serious desperation. All right? So, again, the power vacuum in Haiti, all right? The 7.2 magnitude earthquake that killed over 2,000 people and ruined many communities. These are reasons, along with long-standing issues, that they are coming. And they are coming since last week in droves, okay? Now, clearly, we cannot support this level of illegal migration at one time. Now, you could make an argument to say a creative administration would figure out some sort of plan where you could utilize these Haitians as labor in the rebuilding of Grand Bahama and Abaco, perhaps, on a short-term basis, but then you run the risk of them disappearing on you, and then they're still gone, you don't know where they are, et cetera, et cetera. And look, you can't run a country if you don't know who's in the country and where they are. It doesn't work, all right? So what the process normally is that, let me back up. Several years ago, okay, during the last administration, during the Menace administration, there Fred Smith successfully petitioned the court to say that Haitian migrants should go before a judge before they were deported. So normally what would happen is they would be considered illegally landed, and you would just be deported. So like if you come to the airport and you ain't got no papers, and they just send you back, right? And so they were using that precedent. But the judge said, no, you got to take them to court, right? So the process that the last administration employed was, if they're on New Providence, you go to see the magistrate in New Providence. If you're caught in the southern Bahamas, which is where many of them are caught, then they take them to the base at usually Ragged Island, and then they transport them to Anagua, where there's a base there, and the magistrate comes there. And the magistrate would ask them how they'd plead guilty, they'd go away. The problem is also, this is giving them criminal records, which is going to make it impossible for them to get any sort of legitimate Bahamian status. Okay? Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell said they're now examining that. The AG's office is examining that to see whether that ruling should have applied in the manner which it did. He's of the view that it should not have. I don't know how he wiggles out of that. If the judge makes a precedent and you don't appeal it, or you're not successful in your appeal, I don't know how you get out of it. All right? So most are being held on Anagua, and quite a number are being held now on Flamingo Key, okay? So we would have about 400, I believe, in Ragged Island. And then you probably got around 500 or so on Anagua. What the process is, as I said, the magistrate's got to come, is that the magistrate's supposed to go there today and rule on whether those people landed legally or not. I don't know how a magistrate is supposed to process 900 people in any sort of sensible time, but they would deport them from Anagua back to Haiti. Now, I don't know if they're going to do that by air. The Minister of National Security, Keith Bell, held a press conference today, and I understand the gist of what he said. But I think doing that by boat would be a slog. So I think their best bet would be Bahamas Air. Now, the minister also said, let me back up again, because of what I believe is blatant prejudice, as opposed to what they were talking about, we have banned visitors from Haiti. I'm sorry, we have banned people coming from Haiti from entering the Bahamas for many months now, I believe since March. I'll double check, right? And so the reasoning then was, oh, they're going to have their carnival season and people are going to be, you know, congregating around each other and all this stuff like that, which was nonsense, right? Because carnival or no carnival, you needed to have a negative COVID-19 RT-PCR test to enter the Bahamas. So what is the issue, all right? And then they said, well, the Haitians weren't uptaking the vaccine, and so they extended the ban, and the ban still is extended to now. So even if you're a Bahamian in Haiti, you can't come home. because the government has banned you from coming here. So all legal avenues are now blocked. Okay? Illegally, different story. The Minister of National Security said that none of the Haitians so far have tested positive for any disease, including COVID-19. Because your worry, of course, as a pandemic is going on, is that this presents a serious problem for public health, right? Whether you agree with the methodology in which it was done or not, the fact of the matter remains that if you have nearly 1,000 people coming into your borders and you don't know their COVID-19 status, you run a risk to public health. Again, whether you agree with the methodology with which the previous administration did it or not, they at least were, for the majority of the time, ensuring that they knew the status of those coming in to the country as far as the last RT-PCR test they took. Now, last year, when they let Bahamians go for 72 hours and come back without testing, for God knows what reason, they claim that led to a spike, all right? This year, when they let fully vaccinated travelers come without tests, all right, we believe that led to a spike, even though they don't want to admit it, right? The correlation is there, all right? So the government has, for the most part, been carefully monitoring the COVID-19 status of people coming into the country. When you have 1,000 people come, nobody took a test, nobody did anything, you run a risk of having a public health crisis among them and among the wider population. Okay? And that's not to disparage them, to say that there's something wrong with them. That's just to say that's what it is. If you had 1,000 Americans come in and you didn't test them, you run the risk of having a public health crisis. Okay? Now, how do the Haitians get here? All right. Do they build boats collectively and fix them up and then head down and tell all their friends? No. This is an illegal trafficking operation. So you can deport the Haitians until Jesus returns, but you're not going to stop this show until you figure out how to get at the traffickers. Now, word on the street is some Bahamians are involved too, in concert with Haitians over there, mainly Port-de-Paix, right? But until you figure out, well, who owns the boats? Who's running the trafficking network? That's normally what you do, right? So you wouldn't, if you could arrest all the street-level dealers you want, you're never going to stop the traffic of drugs until you figure out who's running the cartel, right? Who's organizing the routes, etc. So the Haitians pay thousands of dollars, so they tell me, to risk their lives to come here because they just can't hack it in Haiti, which, you know, it's difficult, you know what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. How come we never find the captain of the boat? Because legally, the captain should be held responsible, right? It's your boat. Could it be that they are cloaking the captains of the boats? That no one's admitting to it, and therefore the cycle continues, and what you're doing is you're sending back the guys who captained the boats, and they're just coming back and rinse and repeat? To me, if you get at the money, you got to follow the money. If you get at the money, then you could slow this down. You may never stop it, because people have been coming from Haiti since as long as there have been people there. But if you don't get at the money, you're not going to slow this down. So no, we don't want this huge influx of illegal immigration from anywhere. But also, if you're not trying to figure out the root causes in terms of, not the root causes, but there's two ways you could look at it. You could attack the root causes, which is poverty in Haiti, which could be a global effort, all right? The U.S. having interceded in Haiti's political affairs for the past 100 years should be at the forefront of that remediation. And the other way is to deal with the actual illegal trafficking network. All right? So I'm not saying don't deport the Haitians. I think that you're going to have to get creative at some point with this because you're really sending people back into desperation. So you're sending them back at the same time the U.S. is sending. They're probably going to send over 13,000 back at, all in the same lap. Right? So it was a major, major challenge. I'm not trying to be crazy here, but I swear I'm not. And you let me know if I'm off target with this. I'm trying to frame this in as sensible a way as I can. Could it be just as how the Haitians from South and Central America who were trapped in Mexico, crossed the border after the administration changed because the administration promised a different posture on this? Could it be that the same thinking that went down there may be translating back to Haiti to say, well, the government in the Bahamas changed, and we clearly heard the last prime minister tell all illegal people to get out by December 31st, 2017, we clearly heard them saying that they want to tear down all the shanties where the Haitians, majority Haitians, lived. We clearly heard the last administration fighting to deny children of Bahamian men born here to foreign mothers the automatic right to citizenship. And so now there's a different administration in place. Does that, and I'm not trying to be crazy, I swear I'm not, but I'm wondering if this is a thing, because it was a thing in the States. Does that signal to the Haitians who want to leave that there's a different posture now, and therefore they would feel as though this government would not take as hard line as an approach? Now, I'm not sure why they would think that. They, you know, you could be dissatisfied with Christie all you want. You could be dissatisfied with Ingram all you want. But they never telegraphed this stringent anti-Haitian sentiment. There are always complaints about it. But Ingram never telegraphed it, and Christie never telegraphed it. Okay? Minnis went out of his way to do it. They saw the hostility toward the Haitians who had lost their homes in Dorian. I give some of the Haitians some wrong for some of the comments they made. They made things more difficult than it had to be as well in a very challenging situation for the government, but they were going through a lot. And so perhaps now they feel the posture has changed, all right? So we don't know Davis's. Davis has never been like an immigration hawk, you know? So you can't really point to examples where Davis has been like, this is the hardline approach. Now, I don't know why you would think they would take a different stance, because save for Ingram, we've consistently had this pattern of deportation, repatriation. And the only reason I think Ingram didn't go super soft on it is because he knows the public sentiment is, and don't lie to yourself. This is how you feel, right? By and large, you don't want the Haitians here, okay? I've been here all my life, pretty much. I know you. Most of you out there, you don't want the Haitians here. And, you know, you're entitled to feel that way. I think a lot of the ways a lot of people communicate that are pretty despicable. But you don't want them here. And you want your government to reflect that sentiment. I understand that. All right? But at some point, we're going to have to figure out another way at this. Okay? At some point. Anyway, let me take your messages, and you may have some stuff you want to weigh in on this, and we'll see. So Keith Bell said they're trying to repatriate a group as early as Wednesday, and they're repatriating more. There may be a school of thought, and I know that we can't accommodate 1,000 people coming without status over the course of a couple of days, but at some point, we got to figure out a smarter way to do this. Okay? There may be some argument to say that you could allow some people who had certain skills to say and do certain things, but then we have no plan, do we, for the reconstruction of Abaco and Grand Bahama. We have no plan. So, therefore, how do we incorporate people into something that does not exist? Right? It would have been nice to have had a plan after all this time. But that's kind of not who we are. You can call me 323-6232. Again, I'm not with your bigotry today. So you call me whatever name you want. I'm not tolerating this disparaging talk about the Haitians. It's a problem. Yes, we can all admit that. We can't accommodate this many illegal migrants at one shot. There poses a health risk and what could turn into a humanitarian crisis in terms of feeding everyone, providing facilities for everyone, for women and children and everything like this with our limited resources. Those are all issues, but I'm not here for any just straight up bigotry. I'll just cut you off. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, Sparky, how you doing?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wanted to clear up something that our last talk show host mentioned about Sparky. You know,
I don't care about that, Sparky.
No, but I'm
give me your point. I don't care about that. What the last
one said. I don't hate anybody like you said, Mr. McCartney.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to clear up.
Okay.
What I do hate, Mr. McCartney, and I dislike, when you and I travel, we go through a process where an immigration officer tells us, don't cross that yellow line until I check your passport and everything. We follow the rules before we travel and we go. What I dislike is people coming into my country. It's not Haitians. It's Jamaicans, Cubans, anybody that comes in illegally. That's what I have a problem with. I also have a problem with people coming in my country and squatting on Bahamian land where you and me and our families, we got to go to the bank and borrow money to build a home, to buy property and everything, to build a family. And you just come and squat on our land without proper doggone medical and sanitation of things around you, urinating and defecating into the water table and everything, going unchecked and building 37 shanty towns in a small island, 21 by 7. Everybody coming to the Bahamas want to end up in New Providence. We got many other islands that we need population. We don't need people to come in here to teach us how to do tomato. It's just that we don't want to farm ourselves. We could get our young men need to go out and start working. Work the farms. Let's feed ourselves. We can't take care of other people right now, and we can't take care of ourselves, Mr. McCartney. How can we expect to bring people in our country, shed them in detention centers over and over, year in and year out and year out, and we can't feed our own people? I hate illegal people that come in my country, and if anybody got a problem with Sparky hating illegal people coming in my country, you got a problem, because
Yeah, I don't think we gained anything from that, Sparky. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
All right. International laws with migrants, I don't think they have to go to court. I don't think so, but I know how it is. Because them said from under the bridge in the U.S., did they have to go to court?
I don't think they went to court. No, they made a decision under Title 42 from the CDC director that they could be straight up deported. Some of them they're letting stay, but single people like migrant families, they're seeking to deport as soon as possible. They've deported, I think, 3,000 of them so far.
Fred Mitchell might be on to something. No.
I think he's wrong.
Yeah, you're saying he's wrong, but what I'm trying to say, I talk in international law, I think it's something you do with migrants, whether you send them back home or you keep them. I don't think they don't go to court before you process them and send them back home. I don't think they need to go to court because court is something to do with criminals. And I don't know if some of them comes under criminal, although it might be, you call it a crime, but I don't think they go countries all over the world. They don't send migrants to court.
Well, different countries do different things, but the judge here said they need to go to court. So the government is duty-bound to follow what the judge says.
We have, how much of them we have there? 800?
There's over 900.
All right. Suppose the magistrate go down there and ask them for plea. Suppose the whole 900 of them plead not guilty. Then what do we do?
They'd have to get a trial and a lawyer, et cetera. They'd be remanded to Her Majesty's prison. I'm not saying it's a good system, mind you. I'm just saying what the law says.
I'm just telling you now. So you got to look at all them things before. So we got to put something in place to avoid that, because it might happen one day. Like, you'll have 1,000 people here and every one of them plead not guilty. You got to give them a trial if they plead not guilty.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Jack, yeah. I just want to get that point across.
Okay. Thanks, bro. It says the migrants in Texas are all being processed. Some are being processed. They've already sent, I told you I read up on this, they've already sent about 3,000 of them home on charter flights. In fact, the mass deportations have struck such a bitter chord that the U.S. Special Envoy to Haiti resigned over the deportations. So some are there, yes. I didn't say some weren't. I said I believe they will end up probably deporting almost to the 13,000. But thousands have already been sent home, and they plan to send thousands more. All right? I told you, I read up on it. So, okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I think I share your sentiments in a way that since election, I believe word has gotten into Haiti that the government has changed, and maybe we should test this new government to see what their policies are.
That may be.
You see, so that may be because it's happening too far. Now, I also think I share the view of Fred Mitchell that I don't think we need court to send them back home, because that's the burden they're putting on us by having, we have to feed them, store them, and all these different things. And so I feel if you catch them illegally and you can ship them right back out.
Yeah. It's not a practical thing to keep doing that, to have magistrates come, and particularly if it's going
right,
to be like
exactly.
this. And Keith Bell said today that he believes more immigrants will be coming, and they're going to beef up resources and stay vigilant yet again.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. The other, I recommend, I don't know, maybe I am not thinking straight, but I'm thinking you have the Haitian government, and the Haitian government has an army. We have our defense force, which is our army. And I don't think Haiti is not at war with anyone. We are not at war with anyone. My thing is, why isn't the Haitian government setting up their boats, I'm talking about the armed forces, on the borderline of Haiti, so that when their people come, that they would turn them around?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I think even for us, we should try and, hold on, Daniel, we should try and at least, rather than wait until they get into Exumo or Inagua, why aren't we further out setting up our boats put out from Inagua so we can turn them back before they even get into the Bahamas, at least on the border of Bahamas waters and Trinidad.
You can't turn them around. You have to apprehend them. That we have international treaties. We're not going to allow you to remain at sea in dangerous conditions.
Yeah, but I'm saying when I say turn them around, escorting them, offloading them, and destroying those vessels.
You could do that.
You see, I'm saying we got to try a different strategy, because what we're doing now is not working.
Yeah, you could take a policy approach.
Could you imagine? See, my main concern is we're already in trouble with COVID. These people don't have no treatment for COVID. And if they were to get here and get into our pipeline, we don't know what trouble we'll be in.
Yeah, they didn't test for COVID. They didn't know. So far, none of them have tested positive for COVID-19. We got to take a break. Let's go to the break. We'll be back on the other side. It's really a sad situation. I don't want to get too deep into the U.S. business, but most of the people they've deported, the Haitian migrants, have been women and children. Like some children who were not born in Haiti. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAO, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bombers. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We're talking about the issue with the Haitians coming. So, and I only use America to juxtapose it in this sense, right? So if there's over 13,000 Haitians who came to the U.S.-Texas border, and America is having trouble properly dealing with it, mainly from a policy standpoint. They do have the resources to deal with it, I'll be honest. Our population is nearly 1,000 times less than the population of America. And we're dealing with almost 1,000 illegal migrants over the course of a couple of days. This is very challenging for a nation of our size and our resources. We have limited resources to deal with these things. And you do have a humanitarian side of you that says, yes, the Haitian people have been through a lot, and we'd like to accommodate you in a legal, stable fashion, but then you got to balance that against the resources you have to take care of the people you already have here. All right? Now, as I said, if you could figure out some sort of labor issue where they could start working, perhaps in Abaco and Grand Bahama, then that's fine. But we're really having a problem here. Hey, Juan, how are you? Haitians come in, 900 of them. I see a new day. And I wouldn't dismiss the possibility, and I don't know that it's true, but I'm just saying I wouldn't discount it at this point. If, because the administration changed, Haitians in Haiti believe the posture would change from an openly hostile one to one of more understanding. That's just straight up a real possibility. This says, how come they bypassed the Dominican Republic? What do you mean? How come they don't go to the DR? They do go to the DR. They are there in the DR. They have major issues with the Dominican Republic, but to believe that there are no Haitians going to the Dominican Republic would be a fallacy. The Dominican Republic does not want them there. They have telegraphed that in a much stronger tone than any administration the Bahamas ever. It says, Juan, I've said this before, the only way you're going to stop illegal Haitians is to severely limit Haitians here from sending U.S. dollars or any currency back to Haiti to fund these voyages. Western Union and Bahamas Exchange Control can do that. Well, that's a hard... That's kind of harsh for me, personally. I mean, if I come to another country to work and I'm here legally, why can't I send money back to my family? Why would you deny me that? You're going to just assume it's for some nefarious reason when I've told you that I am sending money to my family to help? Now, I don't sit here in La La Land thinking that a lot of them don't save some money and then buy the illegal journey here. But then to make so cold a calculation is a bit harsh for me at this time. Good afternoon. If I'm not mistaken, international law states that migrants will need to go before the court before being sent home. Well, I can tell you what the Bahamas Supreme Court say. I ain't too sure about international law and what they do with our courts. But according to the Bahamas Supreme Court, they need to go to court. Says we also need to increase the work permits to $8,000. The illegal traffickers charge this for the travel on the boat. Let's match that. This says someone suggested we think out of the box and work out some kind of contract for Asians to work here and grow our food. Grand idea, but they can do that from Haiti. Correct me if I'm wrong. They don't need to be here to do that. Why do they have to farm here? They can grow our food from Haiti and supply us. They don't need to be physically here on our land. We could set them up there in Haiti with the farms and pay them from here to the Bahamas. Okay, you could do that. You could. I mean, of course, it's better if they grow the food here and we process it and pack it here and there's not all this crossing international borders. Okay. It's one of these countries who can't seem to rise out of economic crises are a serious problem. I remember in the past that many South American countries were in this state for decades. What did they do to get out of it? And can Haiti apply the method used to progress to a point where their population is fleeing en masse? I don't believe in being emotional about this issue, but it is incredibly frustrating. It's a frustrating one. And you're open to have suggestions as to what they can do to stem the tide in Haiti. It says the money is being sent from Nassau by so-called Bahamian nations. Mr. Georges can tell you, you can't stop it. The only way to catch the captain is to jail everyone, which will not be allowed by the bleeding hearts. We are finished. Nothing can stop this. Okay? It says, what if these are documented and undocumented migrants displaced by Dorian? Despite the fact that they may be documented or undocumented, they have entered the country illegally. So are you saying that they went back to Haiti and they say now it's time to come back? It doesn't matter. They've entered the country illegally. Good afternoon. Let's do a phone call before we go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the revolution.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
I love your maths. It was accurate. Mm-hmm. You said America has 1,000 times our population.
Right, almost, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I was listening to your discussion or your solutions and so on, I was just wondering why, like in the case of Afghanistan, when America was seeking third countries or so to put those persons who help us, Haiti being in distress because of the military coup and the earthquake, talking about America now, sort of a third country that can accommodate some of those Haitians who are trying to be away. And also, especially since they were not even living there, having Brazilian passports and things like that. But in our case, I think we have to really do what we need to do in protecting our border. So I support all the comments that were made about protecting our border and also deporting and repatriating persons who are coming in illegally.
Yeah, you hate to send them back to a situation that's like so messed up, but you really gotta consider your own country's resources and your ability to deal with this. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good day to this talk and always along with you, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm right here. Thank God for what it is.
Mm.
Right off. One, what those people need, right? Of course, they have some factories there already from different countries, right? But they need some factories whereby they would be able to could work. And not only that, they need to stand up for their country and stand up to those people that have factories in their country so they can get a better, better money for their work.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing is, right, our people, our government, right, should get involved with their government, right, and have some, you know, diplomatic conversation, because most people that speak, they speak whereby they're putting us in a compromising position. And the last government we're in, that was in, our people were begging for food. So we can't take care of them and take care of ourselves. And somebody needs to stand up. They need to stand up, those Haitians in their country, and our governments need to stop putting us in compromising position. Deal with the situation diplomatically with the government of Haiti. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, bro. We got to go to a break here. I'm gonna traverse a guess here and say that this isn't a priority issue right now for the Haitian government. They got a lot going on in response to what's been happening in America. You've heard Ariel Henry, the Haitian prime minister, say, look, man, if you guys won't help us to raise the standard of living in Haiti to help the economy and everything, then expect migration to continue forever. Now, you could look at what Brazil did, and Brazil set up a Brazil Visa Application Center in 2015, trying to stem the tide of illegal migration from Haiti to Brazil. With Bolsonaro's government, they've been under precarious status for a little while, and they also do face deep discrimination and their language barriers. But we'll see. I'm so sorry we are shooting past the news. So let's go to the news, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk. I want to talk about the water and sewage promotions, or we can continue talking about the Haitian issue. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. All right, so as the Haitian issue is going on in the southern Bahamas, and we could still talk about it, that's fine. We have another issue going on. And this issue involves the review of recent public service promotions and public corporation promotions. Now, the Progressive Liberal Party said they're going to review these promotions just to make sure that they pass the smell test. This would be the same Progressive Liberal Party that promoted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people before the last before the 2017 election. But I guess, you know, it's a different Progressive Liberal Party, maybe. So, Fred Mitchell, who's Minister of Foreign Affairs and Public Service, said that Cabinet is going to review those promotions. That sounds dicey to me. If you're saying, well, it's the politicians directly going to review the promotions. And he said that, you know, he's not saying there's anything untoward, but they want to make sure, because he met stacks of promotions when he went to the Department of Public Service. He said he suspects many of them are long overdue, all right? And he don't want to put people's lives indefinitely on hold, but they are looking at the promotions, and this is how this got out. So a few days ago, going around social media, there was a leaked water and sewage corporation document, all right, which indicated that the promotions that were to go in effect as of September 1st were rescinded. The communication said, reference made to our letter dated September 14th, 2021, advising you of your recent promotion. Per directive received from the general manager, please note that all promotions effective September 1, 2021 have been placed on hold pending further review. Additionally, your job status will revert to its previous salary and position. Okay, so if you remember, just before the election, the union came through and they had a problem with all these promotions that were being put forward. And they've said that, you know, Adrian Gibson was doing it and they appeared to be politically motivated, X, Y, Z. I'm going to read for you the letter that the unions wrote to the general manager and to the prime minister that led, my understanding is, to what happened with these promotions. All right. So this is dated September 17th, 2021, the day after the election. This is addressed to Elwood Donaldson. Dear Mr. Donaldson, we write to acknowledge receipt of an email of the unsigned promotions listing with effective date of September 1, 2021. Addressed to all staff. Its content is also duly noted. In the email, Ms. Rosita Adderley made mention that she was directed to send out the listing by the Office of the Chairman and the General Manager. The first listing was posted at 7:38 p.m. on the 13th of September 2021 and contained 58 employees. An amended list of 62 employees was posted the same night at 8:59 p.m. To add insult to injury, after the union would have demonstrated against the promotion exercise, as noted above, Water and Sewage Corporation went ahead and promoted an additional 7 employees on General Election Day, 16th of September, 2021. All right. This is accusing them of doing this for political reasons. Accuses the chairman and the general manager of carrying out these promotions exercises for political reasons. All right. They claim that all this was done without due regard to proper contractual promotion policies or due process as contained within the industrial agreement between Water and Sewage and Bahamas Utility Service and Allied Workers Union, dated July 2013 through 30th of June 2018. May I draw your attention to the fact that this promotion exercise disenfranchises deserving employees and will result in the demotivation of employees as we are experiencing staffing issues within the hierarchical structure of the corporation. It says, despite your attempts to camouflage the promotion listing with a few deserving employees, the following issues arise. One, a number of employees on your list were promoted two or three levels upward or two or three times in the past 4.5 years. A number of recently employed persons who were hired during the last administration are benefiting from promotions and disenfranchising deserving employees who are not promoted in excess of 10 to 21 years. All right. The letter goes on to say that the union is therefore requesting that the promotional exercise be stopped, canceled, and reviewed as it was conducted without advertisement and consultation between executive management, middle management, and both unions, which is the normal process. It has also been brought to the union's attention that the exercise was done without board approval. This action taken is in breach of Article 4 and 21 of the Industrial Agreement. The union is hereby lodging a grievance on the same. We would like to request a grievance meeting at Stage 4. Since you have authorized the said promotions in order to bring a resolution to this fiasco created by this most recent promotional exercise, we look forward to your favorable response soonest. Yours sincerely, Dwayne Woods, President Busawu, CC, Honorable Philip E. Davis, Prime Minister, Mr. Simon Wilson, Financial Secretary, Mrs. April Penroll, Personnel Officer, Mr. Quentin LaRoda, Director of Labor. All right? So the unions, the union, for water and sewage at least, the staff union, line staff union, has asked the government to stop, cancel, and review the promotional exercise. So the union is against the promotional exercise. They believe it was politically motivated. I do understand that Adrian Gibson is no longer at the Water and Sewage Corporation. That is my understanding. And I'm not sure what the status of Elwood Donaldson is at the moment. All right? Now, I don't have a fundamental issue with a review of these policies. I think, though, that when you say cabinet's going to review it, it does add the specter of politics to it. Right? So I don't want it to be a situation where you go, yeah, this is an F&M supporter, this is an F&M supporter, this is a, you know what I mean? Now, what Woods is saying is that some of these guys were promoted several times in the past 3 years when people who have been there for 21 years haven't been promoted at that rate. He's also saying that some of these people were promoted like three, four levels up from where they currently were, and that the union didn't know about it. He claims the board didn't approve it, right? And it was just done by the chairman, the executive chairman, and the general manager. All right. Again, it's very unfortunate how this whole thing with water and sewage has turned out. It's a lesson in what not to do in terms of running a government corporation. It says, are you sure LaRoda is still director of labor? You might want to check that, my brother. Who else would be director of labor? You know something I don't? Are you thinking about Miles LaRoda? I said Quentin LaRoda. They related, right? Yeah, but Quentin LaRoda is labor director. Unless you know something I don't. It just happened recently. Let me know. Because he just recently went there after John Pinder left. Anyway, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hello. Good day, Warren. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm driving and listening to your show. I heard the headline news with the ministers. He spoke about this up in review. And I must say, Warren, I must give it to you. You don't just chew and swallow anything they say. You try to be objective, and at the same time, you see through them. And I'm wondering within myself, I know you don't mean anything by it when you say the new PLP. I'm wondering myself, what's so new about this PLP other than a change of government and new election? And I want you and the rest of the word eluded me, but the radio personnel, all right, to be very vigilant and just watch. And see, I'm not hoping for it now. And just watch and see how two sides of the same coin will come right to fruition. Mm-hmm. We're going to go right back to the same thing. So I want you to allow me to take this opportunity to speak to my Bohemian people, and let's build on everyone who voted for a change. Let's build on, for change other than PLP and FNM. Let's build on that, and I pray that the leader of the DNA will network with the other free parties and come together, and that's the only way we're going to get a change. We got to get away, move away from who wants to drive, who wants to drive the bus. All of us want to go towards a change. So it shouldn't matter who drives the bus, but we have the same objective. So let's put self aside, because one, like I said, I'm hoping for the best, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just know we're going right back down. It's just a matter of time. Closing with this one, we should not give them any honeymoon period. Why? They were there before. So there should be no honeymoon period.
Yeah, I agree with the no honeymoon, but I think it's been 11 days, bro. You already labeling them as not being effective or the same type of thing? I don't know how you make that determination.
One, label me as TJ. TJ, mm-hmm. I will call you back.
Okay.
And I will just say, one, this is TJ.
Okay.
And you know it's your hot or not.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, good, all right.
All right, my brother, thanks. I agree, there can't be this extended honeymoon. Oh, we're ironing out the kinks. We ain't got time for all that. You don't nominate, you don't put 74 different people in the executive. It says, we are them and they are us. We're all descendants from Haiti, or words to that effect, according to PM Davis on the campaign in the Haitian community. I saw that thing with Mitchell. But what is wrong with saying we are them and they are us? I mean, what is wrong with enforcing our immigration policy, but yet not treating these people as if we can't stand them? I think you can strike a balance. So I don't have a problem with Davis saying that. Now, maybe the Haitians said, hey, man, Davis has a gentler approach. Maybe this time he'll let you ride. All right. Says, Juan, did you expect more of Adrian Gibson? I certainly did. These guys talk a good game until they get in office. Yeah, it's weird to me that all that went down to the Juan Ruth Corporation. Says, hey, Juan, aren't promotions supposed to be reviewed by the Public Service Commission and its board? Thought I saw this in the Constitution. Now, I'm not sure that applies to public corporations. Okay? I'm not sure that applies to public corporations. Okay? It says, nothing except Mitchell was quite a draconian minister. Yeah, Mitchell didn't have no high tolerance for illegal migration. He wasn't with it at all. He was very matter-of-fact about it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hi, how's it going?
I read about this Haitian thing about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. After the earthquake of 2010, Brazil thought they could get cheap work to build them stadium for them games. Mm-hmm. But Brazil is a racist society towards black. Mm-hmm. They don't do their own black good.
Yeah.
So you know they can treat the Haitians black good. There's 75,000 Haitians live in South America right now. Mm-hmm. They live and they travel from Brazil to the Amazon jungle to Colombia, mm-hmm. Central America. I mean, they went to hell.
Yeah.
They made it dark for otherwise they still around.
Buses, so, trains,
75,000 Haitians in South America right now. I don't know what the world's going to do, but this is crisis time. I'm just like, talking 7 years of traveling to, the Mexican cartels are deadly. They kill you for a bad day. We have to, we are drowning right now as the people. We cannot heal ourselves. So,
okay.
We need to send the word, remember that they have cell phones. Why Cuba, Jamaica, only us and America getting all the pressure.
Cuba has many, many, many more times Haitians than we do. Many,
really?
Many more. Yes, really.
Man, sneaking in?
Cuba has at least 200,000 Haitians, but people of Haitian descent.
But they are not sneaking in, because Cuba borders are tight. They will jail you for coming on their soil. What about
Yeah, you do get imprisoned, but they don't have the same approach.
Cuba policy is they're both. Cuba don't play with people bordering coming on their land. But the Bahamas and America, we like open society. Mm-hmm. Jamaica closer to them. Why they don't try to go there? Cayman Islands the same way. Mm-hmm. Why only us? Come to the Bahamas, we lose.
Okay. It says Robert Farquharson is in labor. Check that, and who tells me who floats to the top as labor director? You know what? You may be right. Maybe they changed it since 10 days ago. You may be right. Last I checked, Quentin LaRota was director of labor. But if you're saying Farquharson's there, we could go check that out. Yeah, this is okay. This is Farquharson's in labor. Okay. I'm a C. It says, do you know if Wayne Monroe took his cow cock to Inagua with him? Why would he do that? It says, moving, Ed feels nonsense. Is there truth the commissioner of police is on forced vacation? I don't know. He was there just the other day. I don't know. Things may be moving with rapidity. It says, McCartney, I understand that some persons who are retired are getting two pensions or being rehired by the present government. Okay. That could be true. A lot of moving parts may be going on. It says, we only have about 1,900 officers on the RBDF and 900 migrants are coming every 3 days. I hope we're ready for the takeover. Yeah, it's difficult to stem the tide. You remember me saying before, if the Haitians wanted to, come en masse, we couldn't really stop them effectively. It says, one, I think you're trying to be politically correct, but the reality is our country cannot and should not accommodate any illegals at a time when Bahamian citizens are dying in a pandemic and serious downturn. Now, I don't know where you heard me say that we should accommodate illegal migrants. I certainly didn't say that. I said we could figure out a way to accommodate Haitian migrants who legally would come to work if we had some sort of plan for the rebuilding of Abaco and Grand Bahama. I have never supported people entering anyone's country illegally because I know that I can't do it. So it's not like stopping the Haitians from coming to the Bahamas is like stopping Bahamians from going to Miami and shopping at Walmart. Yeah, you can try, but, you know. Good afternoon, Juan. Reality check. Our government is bust. Our economy is bust. Our government is broke. Bahamians are jobless. Many homeless and hungry. We cannot accommodate anyone else, especially when we don't know who they are and they're illegal. Yeah, now isn't the time for a mass immigration exercise. Certainly, I could agree with that. It says, we also need to increase the work permits to 8,000. I think I read that. It says, please reveal who will be members of the authority boards, NIB, Bahamas Air, BPL, BTC, Kelbombs, et cetera. I must reveal it? I don't know what Brady Davis is going to do. I care some sip, but we won't know for sure until they release the board list. It says, Bannister broke down illegal homes. Now the Haitian minister are gone, they come in because they believe they're straight. Their people here are feeling this. Well, listen, the fact of the matter is that even though they may have had a feeling that it would be different under this administration, clearly when we see that they're sending back, they'll probably end up sending back all 900 plus of these people, ain't nothing changed, right? Except the tone, okay? It says, one, give me your view on the DPM Cooper's visit to Inagua. Yeah, I heard someone. Someone was telling me Wendell Jones was scorching Cooper over that. You know what? You could look at it like maybe that's not his role to go down there. But at the same time, I don't know that that's really significant in the grand scheme of things. All right? So him not going down there, him going down there, don't change what's happening. Perhaps they wanted to strike a different tone than the former administration, which was just one of hostile belligerence toward the Haitians. And maybe they saw an opportunity to do that. But if you're the acting PM and you go, well, Jesus, there's 1,000 Haitian migrants came since Wednesday, maybe you do go down there and check it out. It's his call. I don't have a big deal with it. Now, if he would have said, let them all go, like I saw Ingram did in 2010 without telling the director of immigration or the minister of state for immigration, right? Just announced it at a press conference. There would be an issue there. All right. But as far as him wanting to go talk to somebody, I don't see the big deal. All right. And I think that judging from the response by the Haitians, they appreciated it. Let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan McCarthy. Good afternoon. How are you, my brother?
Hey, how's it going? Good.
Doing great. Juan, I think we're talking about the suddenly after the election, mm-hmm. we have these mass influx of migrants coming right. to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I would like to say, based upon the campaigning, I'm wondering if this is just a culmination of a few things that took place. Firstly, let's look at the current leader and Fred Mitchell actually being hosted at a Haitian gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to just single them out, but for this case and instance, seeing that we are addressing this, perhaps mixed signals have been sent out there that telling them that, hey, we are sensitive, we are really super sensitive to you guys. And it's all fine and clear for you guys to come, and we'll give you sort of like a free pass. Also, if you really notice in that crowd, just about all of the occupants during that activity was wearing the PLP paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw it and I heard them, but I mean, no one said, "Hey, come on in."
No, but it's the perception
that because if we treat them with some respect and camaraderie, then they're gonna just come illegally en masse.
Exactly, and then also on the back end to close it off. You know, you don't even know what the participants may have sent the message to them to tell them to come. It's okay to come. Come,
mm-hmm.
and well, so we got all these things going on, but yet we're still being settled down with, you know, I guess the communication levels in terms of. What was the message that was really being presented out there, firstly, even though we heard them speak to the crowd? But it's the perception of what's really, what I'm saying is, it's the perception that you put out there that perhaps really propelled this whole thing into high gear to what we're seeing today. But, you know, we must treat them with humane respect and dignity as according to the law and according to humanity. And we just got to do what we can do as a country to see if we can, who we can accommodate and who do we send back. You know? And so that's just where it is right now. Thanks for taking my call, Juan.
Thanks, my brother. I mean, like I say, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that they took Mitchell and Davis's kindness as a signal that you should come on in. But what do you do? Do you just want to shun people? You just want to go there and like talk down to them? If they're here and they're here legally, then why can't they speak to them as if, you know, they're actually people, right? Now, you're going to have to remember, this ain't Fred Mitchell's first rodeo, right? This is number three now, okay? He was immigration twice before, now Keith Bell's immigration. Mitchell was a no softy on illegal migration. Far from it, right? They're the ones who started this process of this great scrutiny of work permits. The FNM doubled down on it, raising the fee. Fred Mitchell is the one who stopped the process of you being able to apply for a visa if you're already landed here. So you now can only apply for a visa through the embassy in Haiti. Even if you're here, he said you need to go back and apply to come back. So again, if you thought that it would be something different, then I don't know why you'd think that. Maybe you just hear someone speaking to you kindly and you go, oh, okay, well, it seems like, you know, that may be. But I don't see anything wrong with Davis and Mitchell, you know, saying what's up to the Haitian community and treating them as if they want to be inclusive of people who are illegally. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Everything's good. Thank you. Juan, you know, back to you, when you first started your show, when you were speaking about what needs to be done, there's a racket, I call it a racket, going on with human trafficking. And it seems as if nobody wants to deal with that. Right now, I guess business is good because these people are coming in droves. And I don't think it has anything to do, in my opinion, in reference to the government changing, because we have had this issue for a long time. Right now, like you said, the former Minister Henfield spoke about that. They had anticipated more patients coming to the Bahamas because of what, you know, what happened and the situation that's going on in that country. I want to jump on the boat and come too.
Yeah, I'll be real with you. If I were there, I'd be leaving.
Yes, and you know, the thing is, what we have to do, we have to always, at the end of the day, look at these people are human beings, and they you know, there's a process, and they must be handled the right way. Now, I was a bit concerned, I must say, in reference to the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister Feltz. I'm going over there and speaking to them because of the numbers, the men numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know when someone's going to trigger or something's going to happen in reference to with them being outnumbered.
Like a safety issue?
A safety issue. And then when Dr. Darvall spoke and he said about the different situations that's going on in Haiti because of the different diseases,
mm-hmm.
aside from COVID. And I said, well, this man standing here telling these people about all of these diseases, because there is something, I think, that was going on and may still be happening in Haiti. And they're being exposed without the proper,
PPEs.
Right, that they should wear. You know, and I think sometimes science said it's 2020,
mm-hmm.
and you do better. But in reference to the situation with them coming here in droves, I think it's so worldwide thing right now, but it's just where we're located. And I think they really, really want to go to the U.S. And I, as far as being political, people are going to, you know, think and look at signals, because we have had former governments and leaders go into these Haitian functions where they have their fly days.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, that's a thing, right? But
yes.
Again, 1,000 Haitians mm-hmm. almost have come here since Wednesday. That's not the crux of that issue to me, that Darvall and Cooper and Bell and Monroe be in there. I got to say.
And one last thing, in reference to people tend to look at and shine the spotlight on what they want, because you'd be surprised who's involved in this thing. It's just like with the guns coming into the country. There has to be a big syndicate making money off of this. Where these people getting this money from, who they're paying to come on these rickety boats. To come to the Bahamas, and until that is done, we'll have this problem. Our children, grandchildren, will be our ages, and they'll be discussing, having the same discussion as we are having. But thanks for taking my call, Juan.
Agreed. I'll be real with you. If what was going on in Haiti was going on here, I'd be out. It says Luby is calling on the PLP to end the Haiti ban. He claims we have enough tests and vaccines. Is his head right? Also, I understand he's currently in Haiti. Well, you're going to ask if my head's right, because I think they should end the Haiti travel ban too. Okay? I think it's blatantly discriminatory and unfair and makes zero sense. Do Haitians incubate COVID-19 differently than the rest of the world? Are we allowed to come here? Do Bahamians in Haiti somehow now can mask COVID-19 in a way that, say, Bahamians coming from Florida cannot? There's no legitimate reason to continue the travel ban from Haiti, other than just abject fear of the unknown, which is powerful around here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, what's happening?
I'm good. What's going on?
Thank God for life, for sure. So good day to your listeners. One, was Fred Mitchell one of the ministers in the past who helped us get that policy together where we fingerprint and have at least charge them in front of a judge or something before we said, and then deport them back urgently?
No, Mitchell didn't have anything to do with the judge, but he was fingerprinting them and taking them.
Yeah, he was one of the ministers mm-hmm. then in the former government where we started that. He's fighting for that for a very long time, eh?
I guess.
I wonder what he's saying when he's saying we don't have to do the court case no more. We don't have to think on them. I thought that's necessary so we could know, like, who was who, because they was coming one week and then coming right back the next week and given a different name and stuff like that. So I don't think they need to stop the fingerprinting. I think they need to, wherever those persons is, send the judge, send the nurses and the doctors, and deal with them there. I don't think they need to bring them to Nassau. I don't think they need to bring them to the Bahamas. What do you think, Juan?
He didn't suggest, well, first of all, you can't.
He said something about the court case or something. So
yeah, but you don't even listen. You ask me and then you start talking.
Sorry, Juan.
He didn't suggest that we don't bring it to Bahamas. That's A. And B, you can't leave them out to sea, right? And here's the thing. He's suggesting that you just send them back.
No, we can't.
Without going through that process, just send them back.
No, no, no. Don't just send them back. Fingerprint them first. Mm. One, people say, I hear some people saying that you can't, you never stop them from coming, just like how you can't, it's like trying to stop the Amish from going to Walmart, to Miami, to go to Walmart. Mm. I mean, people over here, when they steal out the food store, we charge them, we get them in the front of the courts. I know it's a bigger problem. We should find out why they're doing what they're doing. But we enforce our laws. I think we need to enforce the laws by going up. I think it was Brent Seminar or the former government went up, you know, from 1,000 to 2,000 for the work permit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if 4,000 is 100%, but we need to go up 100%. I think if we was charging them $10,000, when we talk about jobs for behemoths, discouraging them. See, I believe family members and behemoths who are in their families over here working together with them and encouraging them to come here. So let's go up on the money what they're sending back to Haiti, and let's go up on the work permit, see if we can discourage them to obey our rules and regulation here in the Bahamas and come here the right way, like the present Deputy Prime Minister said, you're welcome to the Bahamas, but come the right way. Let's enforce our laws and go up on the work permit and go up on the money what they're sending back.
Okay. Now, I don't agree with the going up on the work permit, but I agree that we need to enforce the law, because with the work permit thing, most of y'all ain't going to do the type of work that the Asians are prepared to do. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say that, you know, Asians are human, right? And, you know, our prime minister the other day at the UN, he missed an opportunity, you know, to advocate, you know, for the rights of those human, for them. Those patients in Haiti, you see, their human rights, you see, and the atrocity that has been put upon them by their former colonial masters and even the multinational corporations, you know, with being assisted by the rich people among them. You see, that the rich Haitians, you see. So mm-hmm. you know, that was the time, you know, to deal with, for the Bahamas to deal with it, you know, in a diplomatic way. Because financially, we can't help Asians, you see, and
you know, no, I we don't have a we don't yeah
opportunity. And, you know, I saw that he mentioned the Cuban embargo, you know, and it affected on the Cuban people, you know, and he didn't really say much about it, too much about it. But you know, I would employ him the next time he goes to that type of conference, any world gathering like that. To advocate for the plight of the Haitians and it'll help us.
Okay.
Our issues with them. Thank you.
No problem. Now, I don't know if I fully agree with that. I think that that's not really his job to advocate for people from another country. But you make a point. He could go and say, help Haiti. It'll help us. We're already struggling. But do you think those people in the UN, I don't know why they go there. I'll be honest with you. You think, because I saw Mia Motley, she had a very impassioned speech, and I love the way she speaks. But at the end of the day, y'all are going there asking these big, huge countries to stop, to commit to climate change, or we're going to drown, or whatever like that. They don't care. They don't care if we sink into the sea. Their interests are for their people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good day. How you doing,
bro? I'm good. How's it going?
One of your callers just now was right on point, but I want to take it another level. Because I mean, I understand the minister getting involved and all that stuff there, but from the administration level, I don't see where there's no strategic plan on putting in this stuff. I don't know if they have. Well, I don't know. I'm probably that kind of.
No, there's no plan. What do you mean on helping? Strategic plan for what?
No, I mean, on as far as like infiltrating the smugglers, like, do they send undercover people down there, or, you know, like how, like,
I doubt that.
Yeah, like how Haitians, you know, go through the smuggling system to see how they do it, which village you got to go through, and how people there spying so you can know when the boats come in. Because the problem ain't out to sea, you know. The problem is when they get to shore. You understand? They just want to get to. For sure, and 9 times out of 10, they ain't gonna get to Niagara. They gonna get to a big city, Abaco, Freeport, Nassau, So those are the places that you have to know where they're coming to and when the boat leave, what time. You know, I don't see, you know, one time ago they used to have, like, you know, with the drug dealing and all that stuff. I think they used to do, like, a lot of sting operations. Now I don't see that. I just think, catch them if you can. Let them go. Don't let them go. Whatever. I don't know. Like, and maybe you all see some different one. I don't see it. But y'all have a good day, man. Once again, good show.
Okay, my brother, I appreciate you. Yeah, I would like to hear some sort of plan to bust the traffic in. Some people say stop remittances. I don't think that's fair. But that might be one thing you could look at. But, I mean, do we have to discriminate against them in everything? I don't get it. Let's go to a break. We'll be back on the other side.
What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
At Wendy's, our food is made to make you crave. Crave our all-new Big Bacon Cheddar Burger. This melt-in-your-mouth sandwich is what cheesy bacon dreams are made of. It starts with your choice of fresh, never-frozen beef or a chicken patty topped with American cheese, applewood smoked bacon, bacon jam, onion tanglers, and creamy cheddar cheese spread on an all-toasted cheddar bun. Available for a limited time only. Stop in today for that flavor you crave. Wendy's, different inside and out.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. Okay, so as I said, Keith Bell, who is Minister of Labor and Immigration, had a press conference today, and I asked the reporters if he said anything about the Labor Director. So he said on the record that Quentin LaRota is still the Director of Labor. However, that may be a case, because someone else is telling me that Robert Farquharson is back, that may be a case of how, like, Simon Wilson was the actual financial secretary this entire time. But they sent him away, and Marlon Johnson was acting in his stead. So maybe it's a case of something like that. But officially he said LaRota is still labor director, but maybe Farquharson's back in the seat. I'd have to confirm with Farquharson. All right. So, but from what I'm hearing, the reporters are saying that he is back. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, Juan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How's it going?
Listen, you know what I called to see?
we need labor in this country, right? And nobody seems that they don't want to face this. Right.
Right.
We got people. We the people comes. Oh, why don't you take these people, make these people pay their way back, man? This is vexing. You got doctors, you got nurses, you got everybody. Check these people. The farmers who need workers, allocate these people to the farmers who need workers to work this land, man.
Mm-hmm.
All we doing is doing something where the big wholesale people in the developed country still supplying us with food, garbage, and we could grow our own. Why we can't do better than this one? Because it seems like over and over and over, and nobody trying to do nothing. You know, we could be self-sufficient in poultry, pork, and mutton, but nobody could be self-sufficient in fish, grits, and rice. But nobody trying to do nothing. You know the reason why? Because the wholesalers fund these people in election. Thank you.
Okay, my brother. That's not like... I don't agree with having them work off some sort of debt. I think you should bring people in to do the agricultural labor. They're good at it. All right. This, someone else is telling me the hair fart is back. Interesting times. Since Anton gets straight, I haven't heard him call any of Guardian shows today. Maybe he's got COVID. Don't wish COVID on the man. Says, 1-2 months before the election, Haitian told me he wanted the PLP to win because things be too tight under the FNM. It says, the PLP campaign, they'll be ready on day one. I don't have to accept no excuses. Get to work and fix it or get out. Yeah, I can't give you no honeymoon. Either, I gotta say, I'll give you some time to set up your government, but that's about it. It says, come work, no wives, no babies. Okay. Rather than sending illegal immigrants back home, let them work for their plane ticket, clean up our country, and then send them home, at least with a stipend. I'm pretty sure that would be against the law, but I guess you could always change the law. Maybe against the Constitution, though. Says, we all need to put ourselves in other people's shoes and see how it feels. Yeah, I mean, for sure, I could put myself in their shoes. Like, I'm not going to try. Do you know how desperate you got to be to, like, hop on some boat that's barely seaworthy for days on end, like, without basic supplies? One, where are the drones the last government bought? I couldn't tell you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. You know how ironic it is for 140 to 150 persons on a 40-foot sloop? You know how dangerous that is?
I know.
But Mr. McCartney, the former government set a program in place which would assist in detecting and repatriation, right? Before they even landed in the Bahamas. What happened to our $17 million worth of drones? Come on, man. They expect to just go into the sunset. No, have no answers for us with that. That would have helped alleviate a lot of this problem because those boats would have been spotted even before they entered the Bahamas if they were in the Southern Corridor.
Now,
that's a big question we need answers to. That's a lot of money, Mr. McCartney.
Now, how do you know that none of these ships were spotted by drones?
Pardon me?
How do you know that none of the ships were spotted by drones?
Well, I'll tell you this. If they were spotted by drones, they surely wouldn't report it to the news media, okay?
Yeah, they didn't say drone.
was supposed to take effect, I think, almost a year ago.
Right.
All right, and I haven't heard the Defense Force or no armed forces bragging about the program that has been started. I know they had a few drones they were testing, just the regular drones they were testing, because in the Churchill sub area, they even had some drones even before this government came into power because Mr. Greenslade himself tested some drones directly from his home, okay?
Okay.
So they always had a drone program, but they expanded on a $17 million drone program, which also included a drone academy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's going on with that? We need to have an investigation into that, see how far they got on that. But I think they got one of the larger drones because I've seen some pictures several weeks ago But it hasn't come to the news media that the public would know that they got some of those in stock.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I appreciate you. I mean, I didn't hear any direct report that there were drones spotted. That is true. They just say spotted. So I don't know how they determined that the people were there. Okay. I gotta say, I get that you want to know what happened to the drone program. I do. But can we not for a second pause and say that the Royal Bahamas Defense Force appears to be incredibly effective at stopping the illegal migration, at least once they enter the Bahamas? Of late, anyway. I don't hear about boats pulling up the Nassau anymore. So I'm going to give them some credit. They caught almost 1,000 people trying to come into the country illegally. I would like to know what's going on with the drones as well, but I'm going to give our Royal Bahamas Defense Force some credit. And they rescued 400 migrants in a sinking ship. Anyway, we got to go. So you guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.